People of Earth, your planet has to be destroyed.
Welcome to Conspiracy, the show, the world's most trusted conspiracy theory podcast, with your hosts, Adam Todd Brown and Olivia Haidar.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Conspiracy, the show. I am Adam Todd Brown.
And I'm Olivia Haidar.
Oh, and that makes us your hosts. Olivia, how's it going?
Bad for the most part, but not in any way that is like entertaining.
Yeah, we've talked about it.
We have. Getting into why it's bad would take an entire Conspiracy the Pod episode, and so we cannot do that.
Right. Maybe someday, but yes. Not right now. Not while investigations are pending. Olivia, thank you for being here. I feel like it's been a while since we recorded together.
I know. I feel like it had a flu.
Here's the thing. I recorded a bunch of stuff ahead of time so I could take a trip out of town. I actually went to Indianapolis for a few days among other stops. I had a lot of fun.
Good.
In Indianapolis.
There is fun to be had. I rag on that place because it's the bane of my existence and the hate of my life. But it has a lot of good qualities as well.
And I recorded a bunch of stuff ahead of time to compensate for that trip. And now I'm like getting back to recording. That was like a month ago.
Yeah.
So it's actually been a while since I've recorded with like most people.
Well, there you go.
And we are back at it to talk about a thing I'm surprised I've never talked about.
Yeah, I'm actually shocked too. I figured you would have.
We've had plenty of years to discuss the Boston Marathon bombing. I like how I revealed that as if every podcast doesn't just have a title when people click on it.
Look, it's the format of podcasts. You have to reveal the title and subject at some point.
This happened on April 15th, 2013. Patriots Day, your favorite movie.
Yeah, I did watch about an hour of the movie because that's when I thought of watching it before the record. It's bad.
That movie existed.
Yeah, that's because it doesn't really make any sense that it does exist because it was made 4 years after the fucking thing. Like, it's such a short turnaround on one of these like massacre movies. It's crazy.
Yeah. That said, I'm kind of interested to watch it because I had never looked into the Boston Marathon bombing in any real way. It's always struck me as a pretty straightforward thing, and it still does.
Yeah.
It seems like just some domestic terrorism, which is bound to happen time to time.
Yeah, as ordinary as something like this could possibly be.
Right. And so I'd never really looked into it, but damn, there are some movie-esque details to this incident. So we're going to go through the official version of events first, and then we're going to dive into some of the conspiracy theories that popped up around the Boston Marathon bombing. Going to warn people right up top. Trigger warning, skepticism. I don't really think any of the conspiracy theories around this.
I guess we do have to warn people. Yeah, unfortunately, I don't think InfoWars being like, this is the biggest false flag since Sandy Hook is like that credible.
Yeah, and I know that disappoints people sometimes. But hey, take heart in knowing I still think Elvis faked his death to join witness protection.
Sure.
Not a total skeptic.
I would love that. I've long held that I would like to watch that movie.
Oh, me too. 100%. So let's dive into the Boston Marathon bombing. On April 15th, 2013, at 2:49:43 p.m., that part's sort of important, I guess, a bomb exploded outside Marathon Sports on Boylston Street near the finish line of the Boston Marathon. Sorry if I'm pronouncing Boylston wrong. It's probably like Boyston in weird local Boston accents, like how what is clearly Worcester is like Worcester.
Yeah, it's Worcester.
That's not what those letters form.
They only pronounce it that way to trick spelling bee contestants. That's the only reason for that.
Proper nouns shouldn't be allowed in spelling bees.
I don't disagree necessarily.
Let's go on that tangent for half a minute. I think that's what this episode needs to be.
Absolutely.
So 14 seconds later, at 2:49:57, another explosion happens. One block further west, 755 Boylston Street. Explosions happen nearly 3 hours after the winning runner had crossed the finish line. Very courteous. But also at a point when there were still 5,700 runners yet to finish.
Yeah.
And the explosions killed 3 people and injured 281 more. One of the details I didn't put in the notes, but that I found particularly stunning, is the race like finished.
Mm-hmm.
They just, at one point, police diverted runners to a different course that had apparently been set up in case of emergencies. Like, okay. They diverted everyone because it would have, like, what do you do? Do you just get in front of everyone and like start waving your hands like, stop, stop, stop?
Yeah.
Like, it's 5,700 people coming at you. Like,
yeah, no, that's an interesting. Yeah. I never thought they must have, because you never know what might happen along that route. There could be any number of things that would interrupt a race like that.
And not just that, but runners kept crossing the original finish line up until like 2:57.
Yeah.
Like, imagine being one of those runners and that's your finish to the Boston Marathon.
Right.
Like, oh, I can see the finish line. Also, what the fuck
is
going on with that guy's legs?
The thing that I have had a hard time grasping when reading about this story is like, how far the bombings were heard. Like, did the other run, like, how much do you, as a person running the Boston Marathon, know what is like ahead of you? And like, do you even have an opportunity to stop?
And especially like, the closer you are to the finish line, like, you've been running for a long time.
Yeah.
That does stuff to your psyche as totally. An experience distance runner.
Absolutely. I mean, we're both speaking as marathoners ourselves.
Right. I've also read about it, but just in personal experience, I know, as you're nearing the end of one of the many marathons I've run in my life.
Right.
Your thinking is going to be a little weird because you're fucking tired.
But totally.
Probably dehydrated.
Yeah. Your body's all fucked up.
Yeah. You might hear that and just be like, oh, that was weird.
Yeah.
Anyway. Carrying on with this race, which
totally.
Because if people were still finishing 8 minutes later across that original finish line,
no, it must be happening.
Because I don't know. I don't know what else you do.
Yeah, me neither. It's impossible to even think about. Honestly, I can't even imagine.
Yeah, and so because the perpetrators were not captured immediately, the city went into a little bit of a lockdown. Residents were encouraged to stay off the streets. Airspace over Boston was restricted, with departures from Logan International Airport temporarily halted. That makes sense. Speaking of conspiracy theories, a little mini one broke out almost immediately when people started claiming that cell phone service had been shut down to prevent phones from being used as detonators for additional bombings. And the truth is, it was just cell phone lines were very congested because people were calling their relatives to find out if they were at the Boston Marathon and if they were okay.
Yeah, and like calling the police because they heard an explosion. And like, it makes sense.
The FBI launched an investigation shortly thereafter, assisted by the ATF, the CIA, the NCC, which is the National Counterterrorism Center. I guess we need to look into them.
Yeah, we definitely need another one of those. We don't got enough things that have that purpose in this country.
And also the DEA. Why the DEA? Maybe just because they had the resources to investigate. Yeah,
they weren't busy that day, I guess.
Yeah, there's no drugs in Boston.
No, famously drug-free city.
Yeah, just a drug-free region of the country.
Exactly, yeah. Not ravaged by any sort of crisis.
And initially, one of the suspicions was that North Korea did this because things were tense with us in North Korea at the time.
God, Americans' relationships with North Korea is that it's such a bizarre phenomenon. They have never been a threat to us, like physically, but we keep expecting them to be.
Yeah. 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 There's an interesting documentary out there. I think it's called The Propaganda Game. And it's about North Korea and how the reporting about North Korea isn't always.
Did we do an episode about that?
I think we did.
That's the movie we did the episode about with that Spanish guy.
Yeah.
That Spanish guy is crazy, man.
An interesting documentary. So the government officials, when this happened, said there was like no indication that a terror attack of this nature was coming. And that's probably true, but there was also this weird incident where 2 years earlier, Russia, as it turns out, reached out to the FBI for information about Tamerlan Tsarnaev, 26, and Dzhokhar Tsarnaev, 19. They were named as the suspects in this.
Yeah.
And once they were, the FBI basically had to issue a statement and be like, we talked to them. But we didn't really find anything too alarming.
Yeah, nothing to see here. They probably, made him turn informant, and then one of their informants got out of control. Oh, no, this is a conspiracy theory. Which is not listed in our list of conspiracy theories, but.
Yeah, weirdly, that is not one of the common conspiracy theories about this, which I think if anything, would make sense. It would be that at one point after Russia makes this inquiry, the Tsarnaev brothers like travel out of the country and then come back. And at no point are they labeled suspicious or labeled as a threat.
I mean, and not only that, but like they don't have a manifesto. We don't have any sort of clearly defined motive for them. And it seems like that would be something that officials might be interested in finding out and publicizing, unless their motive might include the FBI.
Right. And yeah, that's the one conspiracy theory I would be inclined to believe. Like, I don't doubt it with Oklahoma City either. Like, that's one of the suggestions is that the FBI was there, but like not that the FBI did it.
Yeah.
They were just ingrained enough in that group that they should have been able to stop it.
Right.
And they somehow did not. Because that's a thing we know about the FBI. Like, the CIA gets all the credit for being like the super spies who can infiltrate anything.
But that's like, for, foreign entities. Like,
right.
Domestically, it's the FBI.
Yeah. The FBI is just domestic CIA.
Yeah. Did you see Killers of the Flower Moon?
No, not yet.
I mean, it's a spectacular movie. It's so good. But that is in both the book and the movie. That's a minor thing that part of the way that they tackle the investigation is by, and this is like one of the first FBI investigations, period. And one of their main tactics was ingratiating people in the communities and getting information that way.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a classic FBI thing. We covered the documentary about the assassination of Malcolm X on this podcast. It was me and Atif Myers. And in that, like, the FBI admits there were something like 10 FBI agents in the room when Malcolm X was assassinated. And like Elijah Muhammad's like right hand man, like his number two, was also an FBI informant. Like, the FBI's great at that shit.
I mean, there's a reason there's the jokes about, like, some, like, certain conspicuous protests having more FBI agents than protesters at them. Like, this is, like, a commonly well-known thing.
Yeah, exactly. So, as this investigation progressed, it was determined that the bombs went off were improvised pressure cooker devices built by the bombers themselves, using instructions found in Al-Qaeda's Inspire magazine. I will not make the joke about saving 10% at checkout.
Yeah, this is not a good time for those jokes, I would say.
There is absolutely no benefit Unpops at checkout.
That is the funniest possible name for the Al-Qaeda magazine, though.
Yeah.
Inspire.
Like, imagine being just some fucking confused dentist.
Yeah. Looking
through a list of magazines to add to your waiting room collection. And you see Inspire, a magazine about uplifting people of color. And you're like, oh, yeah, that sounds good. It's like, wait, no.
Oh, my God. Imagine writing like puff pieces for Inspire, you know, like what's happened today in Al-Qaeda? Well, you know what? Who's who? Who? Fashion watch? You think they do like a fashion watch?
So many possibilities.
Inspire magazine. That's so fucking funny.
We found out later these bombs were triggered using toy car remote controls.
Makes sense.
Cute little detail.
Yeah, it's adorable.
A survivor who was near where one of the bombs was placed was able to provide a description of the suspects. And the FBI later released surveillance footage of the Tsarnaev brothers at the scene. I find it interesting that when they released this footage, they were like, can you help us identify these two? And it's like, you talked to them like less than 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Why can't you identify them?
They're on the DL. They don't want to talk about that part.
About 6 hours after those photos were released, the Tsarnaev brothers attacked an MIT cop.
Yeah.
In an effort to steal his gun, which is crazy because they also shot him 6 times.
Right.
Which implies they had a gun.
Well, but there's two of them. So, yeah.
Of all the people, I'm pretty sure you could still buy guns at Walmart at this point. Just go take one from some fucking hapless cashier.
Yeah.
Like, totally. Why go after a cop? I get that he's like a college cop and that's like not real, but still, like, why take that guy's gun?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it feels like maybe they just ran into him, you know, like, you know, like it wasn't like a planned thing. They just were like, oh no, here's a guy in a uniform. We got to fuck him up.
Yeah, could be. So that guy died from his injuries.
Yeah.
And they were ultimately unable to remove his gun because the holster probably had like a fingerprint reader or something on it that prevented
that.
Well, that's why they weren't able to get his gun, because it had some sort of security mechanism.
Yeah, I figure like a lock. I didn't know if it was like I didn't know that they could do fingerprint readers in those things.
It seems like that would be the fastest option.
Well, but we're also talking 2013. Was that even like as much of a thing?
Fingerprint readers in 2013?
Well, no, but I mean like small ones that you can like wear.
Okay. I think so.
I don't know. The past is an illusion to me. This is all, that's before I moved to LA. Like, it's so much of my life has changed. It's crazy.
Different time. Yeah. Yeah. It's right after I moved to LA. And even I'm like, oh, what a different time.
Right.
I was such a different person. So he died from his injuries. As I mentioned, after that, they carjacked a Chinese national named Danny Meng and took him hostage with plans to take his car to Times Square and set off more explosives. But they also stopped for gas
now,
first. That's a drive.
Is there a Times Square in Boston, or do they mean New York City?
They mean New York.
Oh, okay.
So it was going to be quite a drive.
Yeah.
And they stopped to get gas, and Danny Meng is probably very rightly afraid that they're going to, you know, kill him somewhere.
Yeah.
Between Boston and Times Square.
I mean, I think it's never a great idea great feeling to be like trapped with two guys with guns who want your car.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely not. And so he not only escapes and gets to a local or another nearby gas station to ask them to call 911, but he also left his phone in the car. And it's far enough into modern times where police can just track that cell phone as it moves. And they eventually track the Tsarnaev brothers down to a small town in Massachusetts called Watertown. Mm-hmm. And at that point, a goddamn movie-style shootout with police ensues. This of course, is all according to police. So take it with a grain of salt.
Yes.
But they claim the Tsarnaev brothers fired 56 times, detonated at least one pressure cooker bomb, and threw five crude grenades, three of which exploded. Speaking of movie-style details, Tamerlan Tsarnaev's participation in this shootout ended when he ran out of ammunition and subsequently threw his empty gun at a nearby cop, at which point he was tackled and taken into custody.
Because they knew he didn't have a gun with bullets in it anymore. That's why you don't throw your gun at people.
Once you're throwing your gun in that, like, how many movies has that been in?
It has. It's such a trope. It's been made fun of relentlessly in other things, like, not just by people, but like in other movies and TV shows. Like, Venture Brothers has several jokes about people throwing guns. Like, it's very funny to think about it happening in real life because it doesn't really make any sense from any tactic, even if you're losing from a tactic. It makes more sense to hold the gun as a bludgeoning weapon than to throw it, because it's tough to like throw something and have it like, you know, do damage.
Exactly. And it actually gets worse for Tamerlan Tsarnaev.
Yeah.
Because his younger brother, Jokar, at this point gets in the stolen SUV behind the wheel and not only drives off, but drives off in the direction of the police. And what we find out later is that he thought he was driving toward a bunch of cops performing CPR on an injured cop.
Yeah.
But he was actually driving toward the cops arresting his brother.
Yeah.
And the cops try to drag his brother out of the way of the car, and they are unsuccessful.
Yeah.
And so Jokar Tsarnaev hits his brother with the SUV and like drags him a little bit before he finally like just falls free. And so that's what killed Tamerlan Tsarnaev.
Yeah.
Was him being hit by the SUV driven by his brother. But his brother gets away.
Yeah.
And at that point, authorities launch a search effort that involved cordoning off a 20-block area of Watertown, Massachusetts, and sending police and SWAT teams door to door to search houses looking for Jokar Tsarnaev. And you might be asking, was that legal?
Was that legal?
It sure was, according to the ACLU. Exigent circumstances, they call it. If there is an imminent danger to the community, or if a suspect's escape is imminent, police can execute warrantless searches on homes. And there's apparently like a little nuance to it where you can technically say no if the police show up in this situation. But who's going to do that?
That like that would take, I mean, even and even if you do say no, they could be like, oh, we didn't hear you. And they're going to come in anyway. Like, you're not going to win an argument against a bunch of dudes in fucking SWAT gear. That is not how that works.
And there was someone at the time who put a YouTube video up that has since been removed who was like, yeah, they asked, but also I had guns pointed at my face when they asked.
Exactly.
So like, who's gonna turn that request down? They also, there were people who questioned the legality of them issuing stay-at-home orders.
Yeah.
And we'll link to the article. It's really interesting, mostly because they bring up that that's a thing that normally happens in the case of a pandemic. People at home. But this was 2013.
Right.
And the little nuance there that made it legal was that it wasn't mandatory.
Sure.
Like, you weren't going to get shot if you went out on the streets during that stay-at-home order. But in this case, you probably might have been shot.
Probably definitely going to get shot if you if you fucked up on this day.
And what's crazy is all of these warrantless searches yield zero results.
Right.
But they still end up finding Jokar Tsarnaev at someone's house.
Yeah.
He was just hiding in the boat parked outside, which how do you not look there?
I would definitely look there before the house.
The homeowner noticed that the tarp covering was a little bit loose and was like, well, that's strange. And he looked under and saw a body laying in a pool of blood.
Yeah.
And so he called the police. The police surround the boat and shot at it for anywhere from a few minutes to like a goddamn hour, depending on who you ask. And it was initially claimed that Tsarnaev was shooting back.
Right.
And that he started firing, and that's why they shot. But then when he was taken into custody, he didn't have a gun. So that story kind of fell apart.
I just love to think about, like, you're 45 minutes into this, like, and then, like, people are just popping off the occasional round at this point. The long stream of gunfire is up, but every once in a while somebody's like, eh, yeah. And there's, like, still 15 minutes left.
And what it ended up being is a thing that we also saw at, like, Waco.
Yeah.
Where one person shot when he shouldn't have. And then what happened next is called contagious fire, where everyone's in this high stress situation, guns pointed, and they hear one shot and they're like, fucking go time.
Yeah.
And I don't remember, was it Waco or Ruby Ridge? It's crazy that the government did that like twice in the span of 2 years. But yeah. I think it was Ruby Ridge where they had the cabin surrounded and like one guy shot at a dog.
Yeah.
And everyone else was like, all right, time to shoot. Just started shooting the fucking house up.
I mean, that sounds more like Ruby Ridge than Waco.
Yeah.
That's not really how Waco exactly went down, but close. I mean,
but I think there was
super far off.
I think there was like some contagious gunfire.
No, absolutely. No, there definitely was. It was
different. I just don't think that. I think it was Ruby Ridge where a dog caused it. Either way, that's what happens here too. And Tsarnaev gets shot in the head, neck, legs, and hand.
Oh, good.
But he survived.
That's crazy. It's always crazy because it happens occasionally. But it's always crazy when someone gets shot in the head and then survives. Like, that just is never nuts. Not nuts.
And that's the thing. There were so many conspiracy theory voices at the time were like, here's what's going to happen next. They're going to say there's another suspect out there, but he's going to be shot dead before they have a chance to talk to him. And in this case, they tried to shoot him dead and it failed.
Yeah.
But then what? Like, he didn't.
No.
Nothing about him talking like
what
shook the world to its core. Right.
What are the answers? Like, what answers are you going to really get? It, you know, there's never like with something like this. It, you know, the reasons are never as coherent as the emotion behind it. Like, just it's this guy is pissed off. And
also the suggestion that, oh, well, police are going to kill him because he's got stuff to say that the authorities don't want to come out. That's such an easy guess.
Yeah,
because the police kill people in situations like this.
That's true.
This is a guy who has killed a cop.
Yeah.
Already.
Yes.
And has fired at several other cops.
Yeah.
Probably injured a bunch of other cops. And now a bunch of angry cops have him surrounded and they are just waiting for the moment when they can get some retribution for him killing another cop.
And then they do.
And they do. And so to be like, the police are going to kill him because there's something to hide. It's like, no, the police are going to kill him because the police are police.
Exactly. That's what the police do. Exactly.
And in this case, it just failed.
It just didn't work. Not for lack of trying.
Yeah, he didn't like reveal the details of some nefarious plot after he was not
killed. Because he's just some angry fucking asshole. Just some moron who found his excuse for violence.
Like, I'm still inclined to believe a lot of conspiracy theories about the government actually start with the government.
Yeah.
Because in a case like this, you send all these people off on, oh, well, what was really behind this? What was the government's thinking in this? When the question you should be asking is, why was this dude so mad?
Yeah.
Because people aren't mad at the United States because of our freedom.
Right.
I know that's what we started saying after 9/11 was they're just mad that we get to like put titties on magazine covers or whatever.
And luckily, all of that rhetoric is dead and has not been resurrected in any capacity in the last month.
Yeah, not at all. Things are so chill for Muslims in this country.
Yep.
And so a police source eventually said the shots were fired in the fog of war.
Yeah, totally, buddy.
Like, oh, wow. Okay. And Tsarnaev was tried and eventually convicted on 30 different charges and sentenced to death. But the death sentence was eventually overturned on the grounds that a judge's refusal to move the case to a different city meant he couldn't get a fair trial.
Yes.
And I agree with that.
Absolutely. At 100%. I mean, for one thing, the death penalty is literally never justified. But even still, like, especially in this case, you're trying the man in fucking Boston. Are you kidding me? You can't fucking do that. That is not how that works.
You probably can't get a fair shoplifting trial if you're a Muslim in Boston at this
point. Absolutely. Jesus.
So, again, this seems like a pretty straightforward thing. Yeah. Like, this eventually was chalked up to extremist beliefs. They were never tied to any specific group.
Nope.
And that all seems to track. But also, a ton of conspiracy theories started popping up after this. And you got to take into account, this is 2013, so InfoWars is like at the height of their powers. Like, this is right before social media networks start cracking down on misinformation.
Sure.
At least misinformation they can't profit from.
Well, of course, naturally.
Yeah. I brought up an example on last week's bonus episode about Google and the Plandemic video.
Yeah.
I did an episode about the Plandemic video, and when I was searching for it on Google, the conservatives were right. If you just check the Google search results, you could go for pages and pages and pages and not find an actual link to Plandemic. But Olivia, you know where I found it?
Where?
In a sponsored ad at the top of the page. So Google would take money to let you promote Plandemic. They're just not going to promote it for free.
Oh, man. That's very funny.
Classic tech.
Classic tech. Not ruining the world at all.
Not at all. And so the conspiracy theories, given that this was 2013, just come in fucking hot and heavy right away.
Yeah.
The first was that this was a false flag.
Right.
And that came from InfoWars correspondent Dan Bidnandi, who asked the following question at a fucking press conference held by the Massachusetts government over this incident. Is this another false flag staged attack to take our civil liberties and promote homeland security while sticking their hands down our pants on the streets?
What a
question. Imagine if the guy had been like, yeah, it is. Boston Globe, next question.
Do you think that InfoWars would even be like mentally able to consider that a victory if that happened? Like, I don't know if their brains would be able to compute like just a straightforward yes answer to this insane question. Like, the phrasing of this question is so bug nuts.
And what civil liberties are we going to lose over this? We can't carry pressure cookers around in public.
I will say, here's the thing. When it comes to InfoWars, especially during this time period, like, you know, yeah, sure. They are going to use this attack to, like, to violate their civil liberties. We just talked about the cops illegally searching houses. I mean, I'm sorry, legally searching houses.
Thank you.
Like, you know, sure, but that does. But you sound like a lunatic when you're like, "Is this another false flag?" Like, what? It's just insane.
Yeah, it's. And again, that's like such low hanging fruit because you know the government has a long, long, long history of, in response to things like this, they do kind of strip away our civil liberties, but it's not that they strip them away. We give them away.
Right.
And it's in exchange for safety from stuff like this.
Exactly.
And so it's really easy to be that conspiracy theory guy who's like, look what's going to happen next. We're going to start losing civil liberties. And it's like, it's because that's the actual United States we live in.
Right.
Like, that's just what we do. So you're not like predicting anything. You're not right about anything.
No, exactly. And also, like, obviously we know from how their politics play out in the long run that they're not actually worried about civil liberties getting stripped away from everybody, just from, you know, the people that they think about and care about right. and matter. Like they care about white people losing civil liberties. They don't really care about anybody else losing civil liberties.
Correct. This was a theory that was also pushed by then New Hampshire state legislator Stella Tremblay.
Yeah.
Who seems like she deserves an entire episode of this podcast all yeah. into herself.
Yeah, I was not familiar with her before reading about her in these notes, and she's a character. Yeah.
She took this claim a step further, and as evidence to prove that this was a false flag attack, there was one guy who lost both of his legs
yeah.
in this bombing, and she was like, that looks fake. That looks, that looks like he's probably faking those injuries.
Totally.
It's like, you think he's faking losing both legs?
He blew him off on purpose to make a... to make his son safe.
Yeah, she was a fucking character. In addition to the Boston Marathon claims, she also once emailed a doctored video of Obama admitting, and I put that in air quotes, that he was not born in the United States to her other 399 state house members, saying it was sufficient evidence to open an investigation. She also had a history advisor on her staff claimed Abe Lincoln, one, dissolved the United States,
yeah.
and two, never freed the slaves. And also Queen Elizabeth II still controls the U.S. government.
Now, these are the kinds of conspiracies that I honestly don't mind at all. Because what's the harm? That it's just so outside and divorced from reality that, you know, you're just making up historical fan fiction at this point.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, okay, so Abe Lincoln dissolved the United States. So where are you living right now?
What is- well, I mean, that means you're just like free to secede without, like, you don't, you, sure. I guess, don't have
all do the it.
Government mechanisms. You can just yeah. be like, hey, we're our own country now.
Absolutely. Go ahead. Please do. I would love to see it. Like, that's my response. Like, okay, sure. Have fun. See what happens.
Like, have fun getting invaded by the National Guard of the other 49 states.
They wouldn't even need the entire National Guard. They get one reservist base out there and they're fine. Jesus.
So there's always, in a situation like this, going to be a conspiracy theory that claims, well, the organizers knew this was going to happen.
Sure. It's natural. And that is an extremely human reaction to something like this.
And they obviously just let it happen. And it's like, why? Right. Why did they let it happen?
Doesn't make any sense.
In this case, that theory was based on an interview that we'll link to, where there is a witness who was at the Boston Marathon. He was running in the Boston Marathon. He finished before the bomb went off. And at the very end of his interview with this local Alabama news outlet, he's like, you know, the morning of, they had bomb sniffing dogs by the start of the race, like at the start line of the race. And I've never seen that before. I've been to a bunch of marathons and I've never seen that. So that was weird. And people are like, see? And it's like, man, bomb sniffing dogs are at every fucking major event, whether you see them or not.
Right.
Like if it's a big enough event.
Yeah.
Especially post 9/11, someone's checking for goddamn bombs.
Exactly. They had fucking, I didn't see a bomb sniffing dog, but they had huge gated security at AlienCon.
Like, yeah. Yeah. I've been to several events at SoFi Stadium, and not one single time have I not passed a gaggle of bomb sniffing dogs.
Yeah.
And it's like ACAB includes dogs, but they also look like such good boys.
It's not their fault. They're victims as well.
Yeah, yeah.
That's my basic stance on police dogs. They are victims of the state.
True. Yeah, I'll take that. And yeah, they're like, just because this guy had never seen them at a marathon doesn't mean they've never been there. Doesn't mean the organizers planned the Boston Marathon bombing to what end? Like, imagine being an organizer of the Boston Marathon being like, you know what would be cool this year?
Yeah.
Fucking bombs.
Yeah. Like fireworks, but bigger.
Yeah. That'll help our event thrive in the future.
And then you're sitting down to plan the next Boston Marathon. Oh, oh, yeah. No one wants to come to our marathon anymore.
And there's always the claim, and they make it here too, that, oh, well, they were running a drill before this. And it's like, why the fuck would you plan something like this and run a drill ahead of time?
Well, you want to let everyone know that there will be an explosion.
There's also the naked man conspiracy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And here's what this is based on. In a situation like this, where the police are involved in a manhunt.
Yes.
And they're already fucking high strung emotional level that they go into their day-to-day work with.
Right.
Is so much more heightened. What sometimes happens is they target the wrong person. Yep. When they're conducting their manhunt. And in this case, there is grainy ass video of them taking a naked guy into custody who looks a little bit like Tomalan Tsarnaev. Mm-hmm. The reason he's naked is because the police told him to get naked because they were worried he might have bombs on him or something. Sure. Like, they put flak jackets on before they approached him. And it was just a dude who was in the wrong place at the wrong time, sitting in his car, who sort of looked like one of the Tsarnaev brothers.
Wrong place, wrong time, wrong complexion.
And he actually got off kind of easy, because I will remind people that when the LAPD was doing a manhunt for Christopher Dorner.
Yeah.
And I think this was actually the Torrance PD that did this, because it happened in Torrance. But Torrance PD and LAPD, that's like peanut butter and jelly. Like, the Torrance PD are the cops that rough up NWA and Straight Out of Compton. Right. It's not even the LAPD. So Torrance PD are
basically the LA. Torrance is part of LA.
It's LA County. Yeah, absolutely. And so Torrance PD at one point during the Christopher Dorner manhunt shot up two Asian women who were delivering newspapers.
Jesus.
Because they were driving an SUV similar to one that was tied to Christopher Dorner. And I think they were like by a cop's house or something.
Sure.
And so they killed two Asian women in the manhunt for Christopher Dorner. So if they can make that mistake, this is a much easier mistake to make. And it's just mind-boggling that this guy didn't get shot.
It's he's lucky in that sense.
And I think it's they probably knew there were cameras around.
Sure.
Because the footage was shot by a CNN reporter.
Yeah.
So that's probably why things went so smooth. There weren't any reporters.
Right.
They found Jokar in that boat.
Yes.
There's also the New York Post conspiracy.
Yeah, this is one of the larger lasting legacies of this bombing, I think, is that, again, people were so quick to jump on any lead that they went after people who didn't do anything.
Yeah. Yeah. The New York Post just straight up put two people's pictures on the cover of their newspaper and were like, these are the suspects. This is who did it.
I remember this.
And they identified one of them as a Saudi national, and they were actually like Moroccan born high school kids who just lived in the area. Jesus. And like ran track, hence their interest in the Boston Marathon.
Poor kids.
Like, if this was debunked by other media outlets almost immediately.
Right.
Like, I think it was Gawker that was like, hey, go to that kid's Facebook page and tell me how much of a bomber that person looks like. Like, he was posting pictures of himself at the Boston Marathon.
Sure.
And they were cleared by media outlets, but people have carried this on. And like, there's suggestions that like John Kerry and Obama both met with like Saudi officials after this happened. And it's like, yeah, I bet if an American media outlet identified the Boston Marathon bomber as a Saudi national, I bet Saudi Arabia had some questions.
Right.
One of them being, why aren't you asking about 9/11?
And then saying, thank you for not asking about 9/11.
Yeah.
Here's some more money.
They're like, you know what? We'll take credit for this one. This is fine. Yeah. This is small potatoes.
Yeah, this is nothing.
Yeah, Saudi Arabia probably did 9/11.
Yeah.
There's also Uncle Razlan, who he is an interesting figure.
Yeah.
There's a conspiracy theory site of the day. We'll link to their investigation. Ruslan Sarni, he was an uncle of the Tsarnaev brothers. And it seems like he was rightly identified as kind of a bad dude.
Yeah.
With some unsavory connections. But I invite anyone, we'll link to the article. I invite anyone to read it and tell me where it says what that has to do with these bombings. It's all just, can you believe how bad this guy is?
This guy sucks. Can
you believe the connections he has? And it's like, wait till you hear about Bin Laden's connections. That should raise some eyebrows too.
Yeah.
And like, there's nothing in this article. I was shocked it still exists.
Yeah.
Because like, that's one of the big lies about the internet is, well, once it's on the internet, it's there forever. Bullshit. Not if someone stops paying their GoDaddy hosting fees.
Yeah.
No, disappear real quick.
So much lost stuff on the internet.
But this article's still out there. You can go read it. It's interesting. Like, if everything they say is true, this guy does seem like a shady character. But there's nothing in the article about what that, like, what would have motivated them to act on his behalf to bomb the Boston Marathon.
Yeah, there's lots of bad people in the world, but they don't all commit terrorist acts.
Right. And the last one I want to talk about, there's a few more, but there was also this conspiracy theory about memorial pages being set up before the bombing actually happened. And this is an easy one. Facebook, at least at the time, if you set up a page, you could decide when it was launched,
like
what date the public saw. So you could launch a Facebook page today, but set the launch date to show as the day before, for example. And so there were a couple Facebook memorial pages that were set up a little too early in people's opinion. And that is proof of a conspiracy, which I think leads to an obvious question. Why would you set up a memorial page if you're people doing the conspiracy?
You don't have to do that. Facebook, like, this is 2013. Facebook is technically still new at this point, like, you know, fairly new at this point, like less than 10 years.
It's like at the height of its powers.
Exactly. Less than 10 years old. So like, you do not, like, if you're doing a conspiracy, you have no reason to make memorial pages at all. So, you know, this doesn't really follow. And like, I just, it's this, it's a thing that we run into where people are just like, these people are all powerful and all knowing, and they do all of these insanely intricate conspiracies, and they left all of the clues to find.
Yeah, that part is always inexplicable.
Yeah.
Like, why would they leave clues?
This doesn't make any sense. This is such an easy, if they are that clever in their planning, why wouldn't they think of this part?
And I'm curious, what civil liberties did we lose because of the Boston Marathon bombing?
Right. None. Not because of it just demonstrated which ones we were already losing because of the Patriot Act and the War on Terror.
Yeah. I mean, there's a Hoover Institution article about it. And like, I get that that sounds like an official outlet, but it seems like their only point is, well, it's going to lead to increased surveillance and more racial and ethnic profiling.
Totally.
And it's like, yeah, because the United States needs a push in that direction.
Yeah, we weren't doing that already. That's for sure.
That actually seems mostly unrelated to me. Like, 9/11 put all that shit in place, if nothing else. Like, there's to quote the Foo Fighters' third album, there's nothing left to lose. Like, the government's been spying on us for a long time.
Exactly.
I can't imagine like what kind of additional impact the Boston Marathon bombing really would have had.
None.
And especially like not in a way that the government couldn't have just done on their own anyway.
Exactly.
Like, we don't,
and we're
we
don't doing stop
shit from happening.
Right.
This government operates unchecked.
Absolutely. And if you even try to check them on anything in any capacity, even by refusing to vote, people will freak out at you about it. So this is not a thing that changed anything.
Yeah. I don't think the Boston Marathon bombing is what made us all put Ring doorbell cameras.
Exactly. Jesus.
Front of our houses.
Fucking
it's not
Ring
why
doorbells.
Amazon outfits all of their vans with surveillance cameras. Right. Like this had nothing to do with, like, we were headed that way anyway.
100%.
This just, like, it gives people something to talk about.
Yeah.
It's content, basically. Case in point, this episode that we're doing right
now. Hey, at least we're 10 years on making the content. You know, exactly. Like, these people are, like, in the heat of the moment being like, it's all fake.
Yeah, I think we're more critiquing the content.
Yes.
And even the content from the Hoover Institute, yeah, that's like, oh, this is going to lead to more government surveillance. Like, yeah, they can also shut up.
And again, like, none of these even come, like, we found our own conspiracy in this episode of that they were probably FBI informants. Like, honestly, yeah, that, like, the more that I've thought about that as we've talked about this, like, the more that I just am going back to, yeah, no, they were probably FBI informants, and that's why we never really learned anything concrete about them at all, even though we, yeah, knew their names. And, like, we apparently knew their, it just doesn't make any sense, so.
Yeah, and the one of the articles we'll link to that talks about that idea of, well, why didn't the FBI, like, flag them when they came back into the country?
Yeah.
This article dismisses it as people, like, giving government bureaucracy too much credit.
Sure.
And that's always such a lazy argument to me, the idea, yeah, that, oh, the government's not organized enough to pull off stuff like this. And it's, well, like, tell it to private prisons.
Like, I don't think that the government is organized enough to pull off some of the things that, you know, we've talked about as far as conspiracies go, but I don't think that what, you know, them being an FBI informant necessarily means that they are, like, I don't think that requires any sort of complexity. That's business as usual for them.
Yeah.
So it's not like they're doing anything out of the ordinary to make this a conspiracy, quote unquote.
Now, even though none of the stuff we've talked about so far seems to hold any weight, sure, we are on next week's bonus episode covering another Boston Marathon related investigation that seems like it might be a little more compelling.
Yeah.
There is, yeah, a recent documentary series. It's on Hulu right now, called The Murders Before the Marathon. And it's about journalist Susan Zalkind and her investigation into whether a triple homicide that happened shortly before the marathon bombings was, one, perpetrated by the Tsarnaev brothers, and two, whether if police had investigated that murder a little more thoroughly, could that have prevented the Boston Marathon bombing?
Yeah.
With the idea being, well, they would have been in custody for this, and it probably would have stopped the even bigger tragedy that happened next. Although, yeah, in terms of body count, 3-3 both times.
That is true. That is 3 both times. Yeah, that's an interesting theory. I'm looking forward to watching that movie.
Yeah, I don't know anything about it. And at first I was assuming, like, maybe Uncle Roslyn is involved in that, but it, yeah, seems like he's not. It seems like he's not,
no,
a part of that story. But we'll find out. I have not seen it. Going in cold.
It on the, just on the surface, it makes sense that two murderers might murder more people.
Yes,
so,
exactly. And we will be covering that with special guest Heather Maruli.
Nice.
We'll have a guest next time, so that's fun. And yeah, in the meantime, I don't believe any of these conspiracy theories, no, about the Boston Marathon bombing, except the one that they might have been.
Yep.
And I think that's our episode. Olivia, thank you so much.
Thank you. This is fun.
For doing the pod. What do we have to plug before we get out of here? I have adamtodbrown.substack.com. That's all I got. Olivia, okay, what about you?
My Twitter is locked currently. Free Palestine. That's,
oh,
my
plug. Is that why it's locked?
No, I'm just saying that's my plug. Free Palestine.
I concur. And I think that's it. Should we get the fuck out of here? We should.
Yeah.
Olivia, say goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye, everybody. We love you.
People of Earth, your planet is about to be destroyed.